upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor and founder of Technocracy.News. If you were a transhuman citizen who was trying to achieve immortality, would you think that biohacking your own body would be the way to get there? I wouldn't offhand, and I'm not a transhumanist, by the way, but the transhuman movement believes that they can achieve immortality. And they're using science, of course, to get there. Now, there's no particular evidence that this can be actually done, but that doesn't stop them from trying. And I will point out, just so you understand the link, technocracy and transhumanism have a common ancestor. Yes, they do. And that happens to be the philosophy of scientism that was originally coined and kind of articulated by Henri de Saint-Simon, who was a French philosopher that lived during the 1800 period, and he's considered to be the father of technocracy and the father of transhumanism as well. He's like one of the earliest people who wrote about such things. So people look at him as a founding father, if you will, of these two disciplines. And I could say also that as technocracy is to society, in a very real way, transhumanism is to the people who will populate the technocracy. This is kind of the big picture, and that's why sometimes I say that transhumanism and technocracy are really joined at the hip, and transhumans in general believe that they have hijacked evolution altogether and that they will be able to create humanity 2.0 through the application of science and technology. Well, this article today, titled Transhuman Dreamin', Immortality by Biohacking with Blood Transfusions, this is a strange story. It starts out, anti-aging science has never been more hyped, with breakthroughs in genetic engineering and drug discovery pushing the boundaries of what was once dismissed as science fiction. Although futurologists have said immortality is possible, most scientists believe delaying the onset of aging is more ethical, and research into this is booming. And I would generally have to agree with that, that many scientists, and it says most here, probably is true, most scientists will not buy into outright immortality where people will never die. But doing research into extending the lifespan, well, okay, there's lots of people working on that. So the gist of this article is that some people dubbed biohackers, that's a play on the concept of computer hacking, of course. Biohackers means you're hacking a biological entity, in this case, their own bodies. It says some people dubbed biohackers are willing to dabble in do-it-yourself anti-aging medicine and other hacks, which have not passed the stringent testing that normally is done, despite the high risks. Now, Lynn Cox, a biochemist at the University of Oxford, said, "We know biohacking happens all the time. There's a lot of do-it-yourself," she added. "From unregulated blood transfusions to off-label pill popping, biohackers are putting their health in their own hands rather than those of qualified doctors. The grim, somewhat vampiric practice of swapping blood between a young person and an older person is called parabiosis. Scientists discovered in the 1970s that fusing the circulatory system of animals together, sometimes for weeks on end, had surprising results. The younger animal would age prematurely, whereas the older animal was rejuvenated. but a stark warning was issued by the FDA, who said it feared some Americans were receiving rogue blood transfusions. So based on studies done in animals in the 1970s, fusing circulatory systems together, biohackers today are thinking, wow, if it worked for animals, it worked for me because I'm just an animal too, just like whatever other animals were experimented on back then. So if it worked for them, maybe it'll work for me. So off to the blood bank they go. Actually, not to the blood bank, it's off to the transfusion center to get some new blood. And people that are doing this biohacking are paying big dollars to have the right kind of transfusions. Okay, well, maybe they won't get there, but the transhuman dream in part is always with us. It just won't go away. And science may or may not ever produce any evidence or any tangible result in pointing us towards immortality, but these people are still willing to put their own lives on the line to find out. And likely it's going to be the hard way. Now, speaking about health in general, article number 2, sick, artificial intelligence set to take over healthcare, presents an article, oddly enough, coming from Morgan Stanley. That's right, the giant banking, global banking institution. Morgan Stanley, of course, has a research department, and they write articles that are picked up by investors and stuff about different industries. And this article talks about artificial intelligence in the healthcare system. And this really caught my eye because recently we talked about healthcare in general and how technocracy is affecting it. And I brought up the book by Twyla Braze called Big Brother in the Exam Room on how big data and artificial intelligence is impacting healthcare. Now, I just have to make this observation. If you think that Obamacare was a big deal, you completely missed the boat on this. It wasn't about Obamacare at all. In my mind, the more I study this, the more I see that Obamacare was nothing in the end. But healthcare is indeed being turned upside down. It's being turned upside down by artificial intelligence. And I don't care what kind of medical plan you might have had in place, whether it be Obamacare, private policy, or some other medical sharing expense policy, medicine is changing big time because artificial intelligence is starting to take root at all levels of the healthcare industry. And when I say at all levels, I'm talking about from the exam room, through the diagnosis procedure, through the prognosis procedure of whatever outcome they might prescribe for you, treatment options, exclusions on things that can't be treated, HMO management, health insurance. Companies are adopting artificial intelligence to rate allowances and risks on how much they're going to pay for a given thing, or if you'll even get it at all. And I have to add, next time you go to a doctor's office, which hopefully will not be soon, but when you do go, note how much data they're collecting on you. You will be amazed. This is where the future lies as far as health is concerned. Artificial intelligence is taking over. So the article starts out, the patient suffers from abdominal pain along with symptoms in atypical locations, which makes diagnosis tricky. An astute examination reveals the cause, an unusual form of appendicitis. However, credit doesn't go to the radiologist. Instead, an imagery machine built with artificial intelligence technology, which can draw on knowledge of tens of millions of similar scans, recognizes the anomaly and makes the diagnosis. Wow. Based on our analysis of AI capabilities, as well as discussions with executives and industry experts, we're seeing a number of applications across the entire healthcare spectrum, from prevention to diagnosis to follow-up, says Michael Jundling, head of Morgan Stanley's research medical tech and services team. Now, this kind of application of artificial intelligence is absolutely ubiquitous as far as the industry is concerned because it's spreading itself all over the spectrum. The article notes, we're still in the early stages with relatively modest deployments of AI, such an assistive intelligence, which helps reduce manual processes and simple but repetitive tasks, such as appointment scheduling, leaving skilled medical staff with more time for specialized and revenue-generating work. Bingo. There it is. Revenue generating work. Let's focus on that, not the patient. I guess if you follow Morgan Stanley, you'll be investing in AI stocks that address healthcare. If you're a patient, you'll be sorry you ever heard the term artificial intelligence. Doctors will get dumber as time goes on. Your diagnosis will be settled, whether you like it or not. And this is a case a little bit like Al Gore said with climate warming. The science is settled. And if you're a denier, you deserve to be punished. Well, I don't know how AI will figure this one out in the end, but if you go to a doctor's office and you disagree with the diagnosis that you've received, or if you disagree with the treatment that they will or won't let you have, you'll have nowhere to turn. You either accept it or not. And if you don't accept it, you may well just be dismissed from the practice. Sad but true, artificial intelligence taking over healthcare. The last article is, again, very important and has to do with artificial intelligence as well, but this time in a different context. A company in Europe, well-funded with money from the European Union, has created a drone device that is a flying drone that can operate in swarms rather than just independently and autonomously. In other words, the swarm of drones can just be sent out to police a certain area. They'll figure out themselves where to fly, what to look for, what they find. They'll analyze it and so on. But this new drone technology is absolutely revolutionary. And in Europe, it's going to be used to patrol Europe's borders. That's right, border control. Threat analysis and decisions will be made autonomously, notifying border patrol agents. And I write, this is a slippery slope that could all too easily be inducted into broad law enforcement and military practices. So the first paragraph says, imagine you're hiking through the woods near a border. Suddenly you hear a mechanical buzzing like a giant bee. Two quadcopters have spotted you and swooped down for a closer look. Antenna on both drones and on a nearby autonomous ground vehicle pick up the radio frequencies coming from the cell phone in your pocket. They send the signals to a central server, which triangulates your exact location and feeds it back to the drones. The robots close in. Well, you get the sense of drama here. But these drones are not your mother's drones, I can assure you. These drones, the article says, will employ, listen to the list, optical, infrared, and thermal cameras, radar, and radio frequency sensors to determine threats along the border. Cell phone frequencies will be used to triangulate the location of people suspected of criminal activity, and cameras will identify humans, guns, vehicles, and other objects. The main objective is to have as many sensors in the field as possible to assist patrol personnel. The company that's making this technology is called Roborder, R-O-B-O-R-D-E-R, and they were instructed when they originally got the grant to develop some type of robotic that it wasn't supposed to be used for military purposes. So there's some question whether or not they're following the rules of the grant in the first place. But in this case, protecting the border of Europe is not a bad idea. And my guess is it's going to take about 6 months before this technology is adopted in the United States as well. And of course, the slippery slope again is, will these autonomous robots ever be given any type of weaponry to take action directly on the spot so that they can mitigate the perceived threat? But when we say that artificial intelligence is going to control these drones, what this means is they're not going to be flown with a joystick by an operator on the ground, like most drones do today. These drones may follow a predetermined path like a border, but they will make their own decisions on what to monitor, what to swoop in and check out, and when and how to report its findings back to the central station. Well, the political will behind this is going to be interesting. In Europe, they're implementing this now. It's just in a trial stage, but my guess is it'll be rapidly rolled out to the entire border system in Europe. And I cannot imagine any reason that would stop this technology from being used on our border as well, especially our southern border. I'm not going to say that that's good or bad at this point. We still don't have a wall, and people are coming through in record numbers still on our southern border. These drones may or may not help to stem that tide. But if we implement this type of drone system to America, artificial intelligence driving autonomous drones through the skies, do we really want to see this type of technology in our police system, whether it be sheriff or city police or even in the military that operate around the United States? How about the intelligence agencies? Do we really want to see this type of technology used for spying on citizens? I don't think so. Hopefully somebody will have that ethical discussion before it's actually rolled out in America. If you haven't gotten a copy of my book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, and you're curious about connecting the dots, you really need to get a copy. It will connect the dots for you on what's going on and how science and technology is being used to control people. And by the way, just to reiterate, I'm not anti-technology in any way, shape, or form. I love technology and what it can do for the human condition and what it can do for us personally to free us up from certain activities we'd rather not do. I love the gadgets. I love computers. But when that technology is used wrongly to control me, or you for that matter, I balk and say, no, that's not right. And that's what technocracy is all about, controlling you and me and conditioning us to do the things that they want us to do. I say, no, it's not anybody else's place to tell me what my decision should be on how I interact with society. And I hope you feel the same way too. If you do, you have a voice. You can get involved with your local city council and your county officials. Start to educate them on what's coming down the pike and warn them, beg them if you have to. Don't bring this type of technology into our community unchecked without having a discussion first with the people in the community and experts in the community on privacy and on citizen interaction. Don't let it happen. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time. Have a great day.